Good afternoon, St. Louis. Happy News Talk 97.1 DGS. Temporary phone line.
No, disregard.
Okay.
Disregard.
There's a big sign in front of my face. Hey.
Do you put it out?
That's not for you.
I'm going to read it.
Pay no attention to
that. Beige band?
Where'd that come from?
Okay, fine.
All hosts, attention, please.
Except for
important note.
Except
temporary phone line is this. Disregard.
Hey, Glover, don't.
Disregard.
Hi. Thursday.
Hey,
hi.
10-10 coming up later.
Finally got the day right. Congrats.
My closest favorite day.
Yep.
I would like to let everyone know that I have no intention of participating in the think tank today. I am simply there to get a front row seat to the Annie and Johnny show.
That's what it was like whenever I was on with Kelowna and Tim Jones.
It's an
easy day for
you. I think it's vastly entertaining to listen to on the radio. And the fact that I get to sit in the studio and watch it unfold in front of my eyes.
You're definitely playing right field and batting ninth.
Do not expect much out of me.
Yeah.
I'm there.
You're on deck if they need you.
I'm there to spectate.
We'll talk about real stuff today. I actually want to talk about some real stuff today.
Mm-hmm.
We recorded the DGP today. Rachel and I did the podcast, and it will be out tomorrow at this time.
It's out now.
It's out right now. Like
I understand that it's out now.
We released that on Thursdays at 3.
You please disregard.
You can get information by calling the temporary phone line.
314-249-2669.
That's where you can find it, on the temporary phone line.
If you call that number, the DGP is instantly downloaded to your phone.
And they'll fax it to you.
Tomorrow at 3 p.m. So, and I talk about my agnosticism today.
Ooh.
Not to be confused with my mysticism. That's very different.
Or your animal magnetism.
A future. That's a five-part series, that
it's
one.
It's a mini-series.
Yeah, that can't be handled in 45 minutes.
It's like Roots.
Yep.
Exactly.
Chapter one.
Can I start with the dumbest question I've ever had?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a real one. So, you know I love spooky stuff. Mm-hmm. Paranormal Tuesday, Halloween show, my beloved podcast that I listen to, all the horror stuff. One of the Spooked, which is a scary podcast I listen to, there was it's supposedly real people telling real horror stories, and there was one that was from Mexico, and it was basically these kids went to a, I'm getting somewhere with this, I promise, the kids went to a Mexican fair, and there was an explosion, and it blew up a bunch of clowns, and one clown died at their feet, and that night when they were trying to sleep, and they're all so scared because they saw a clown die, they went to the bathroom, and the dead clown was in the bathroom, and he was trying to get them, okay? Mm-hmm. So, it's a terrible story, and I'm sure made up, but anyway, these kids are trying to keep this horrible, disfigured, dead clown in the bathroom, and he's trying to get out of the bathroom and into their room. Okay, here's my question. We've all been afraid of something at some point, and it's usually some, like, amorphous, like, ooh, what if Reagan from The Exorcist is in the bathroom? Or what if, like, this ghostly, dead old lady walks down the stairs? But what are we really afraid of? Like, what are they going to do to you? Like,
eat your face?
That's what I'm afraid of. That's exactly what I'm afraid of.
I don't think they're going to walk up and ask to borrow a five spot. They're going to kill you. They're going to eat you. They're going to maul you.
Okay, but you say that like, duh. I don't think everyone's afraid of getting their faces eaten.
Mm-mm.
If it's a clown, I mean, he's not going to come up and they're going to hurt you if that's what you're afraid of them, right? Am I missing something? I mean,
yes, you're missing something.
Okay,
because you gave my answer.
Okay,
that's literally what I'm afraid of. I'm not afraid of them, like,
punching
me
in the stomach.
Yeah, punching me in the stomach or tripping me or going...
Right.
Or running circles around me or dragging me down to hell. I'm afraid they're going to eat my face.
Eat your face. Which is kind of the zombie thing, right?
Right.
Okay, so zombie clowns.
But like, what are most people afraid of? Like, I think there's a ghost in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who cares? Who cares if there's a ghost living in your attic unless they're going to do something to you?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if they're going to do something to you, what do you picture them doing to you?
I think everybody's is different.
What's yours?
And I think it's the unknown. I think it's the, if they can be here right now, they can obviously do stuff.
Right.
Thank you.
That's how I feel.
And that leads me to my point, which is maybe they're just not that tough. Mm. Like, maybe they come in and they start shoving you. And they're like, woo, and you're like really? Right. That's like I've been so afraid of ghosts this whole time.
Like the SpongeBob episode when Davy Jones' boat breaks down and he has to live with SpongeBob. And for, like, the first few days, everything he does, SpongeBob's scared of.
And it just wears off.
And then he's just, like, not scared of him anymore because he's seen all the tricks.
Our life should be led by SpongeBob. Just follow SpongeBob, you'd be all right.
What do you
need a separate podcast with Tony where you guys just talk about SpongeBob.
I know.
I feel the same way as Tony. It's like, if they're here, they obviously know something I don't know. They shouldn't be here. I'm not really afraid of getting my face eaten. I'm afraid of just seeing them. I'm like, if there's a ghost and it reveals itself to me, I'm already in dire straits.
If they are, you know, malevolent, if they got something, if they're mean, if they're bad, they're going to do something to you. Maybe they take your soul.
Maybe they're just hateful. Maybe they just don't like you. I don't need that negativity around me.
Maybe they're jerking around with your thermostat. Come on! That's crazy talk.
Not of all.
Pardon me?
You getting sick, too?
No, I just blow my nose. Hey. I think I'm okay. Why? Have you heard?
Blowing your nose.
Have you heard something? What? Do you see something in my eyes?
So I finished
refreshing.
Refreshing blow.
I finished.
Twitter says spectral sodomy.
The worst kind of sodomy.
Yes, that sounds dirty.
Not the fun kind.
Yes, sir. There you go.
I finished the fish movie.
And?
Zimmerman also watched it.
We
agree.
Two fins up. You really dug it.
I thought it was good.
Yep.
But
once we started talking about it.
Yeah. Oh, it's deeper than.
I can do that with every movie. No, it's like all the reasons why it doesn't make any sense. I can do that
with
every
movie. Well, I can come up
with
a big one to begin with. I mean.
The fish part.
There you go.
I just think that Hollywood is cowardly the way they end things. And this one ends the way you would think a Disney movie would end.
It has to. They do the test. They do that. They test the movies. They tank and they change them.
Get some hair.
But then the movie ends up and they lose a ton of money and then the producer never gets another job. I get that.
That's the difference between commerce and art.
I don't
need everything to end horribly.
Right.
But when you just go, it's not going to end like this, is it? And then it does. You're like, oh, come on. And it makes me worry a little bit about the people who are like, what?
Yes, shocked.
What?
Well, can't believe there was a happy ending.
That's so romantic.
I can't believe it all worked
again,
out.
Again, since
she
they're,
loves
yeah.
that fish.
Yeah, since they're kind of forgetting about reality to begin with, that she's hanging out with a fish.
I can't believe it all worked out in the end.
Wow, I'm so happy.
Now, you say that as if the very fact that it's based on something that can't happen offends you. I'm sure most of the movies you like are like that.
No, it doesn't offend me, but I know it's going to have a happy ending. I would be very surprised if you had a movie about a fish falling in love with a woman, and then, you know.
Spoiler alert, jeez.
Thanks, Mark.
Everybody knows that from watching the previews.
Golly.
What happens at the end?
Someone said it should be called Grinding Nemo.
That's great.
Pretty good.
Really.
Pretty good.
They have a bunch of guppies and they call it a day. You more than anybody, that surprises me because you don't like turmoil. You like and if things go bad at the end of the
movie. I'm a mystery
Give me a movie real quick that ends bad. Big movie that just ends bad. Where it just
Empire Strikes Back.
I don't know that movie.
He doesn't like Star Wars.
Yeah.
Not big enough for you.
No.
Gone with the Wind.
Give me.
Doesn't end great.
No, that's true.
But Shaking her fist at the sky and such.
Yeah.
Jaws isn't great for Quint.
Mm-mm.
No, but they get the fish.
First Rocky movie.
So does
the first Rocky movie ends great.
No, he loses.
Yeah, but he doesn't. He makes it to the end. You know.
He's made it to the fight at the beginning of the movie.
So you're saying you...
It just seems odd that you would say that because you and Tony both likes... You both say that you would like to watch a movie with a guy just sitting there reading a book. So I would think that a movie that would end in turmoil would really be bad for you, that you wouldn't like it.
See where you're coming from.
Yeah. And again, when you test them out, people always know. It's got to the guy's got to get the girl, girl's got to get the fish. It all works out.
Also, just internal inconsistencies bother me. I wish I could talk about it openly, Because even if I say spoiler alert with the number, you know, like the Oscar-winning movie.
As far as I'm concerned, if you say spoiler alert, you can say anything you want.
Rach, what do you come in on that?
They have the... They
could be turning it off.
They've been warned.
Okay. Spoiler alert.
There you
spoiler
go.
Alert.
There you go.
Don't the Shape of Water.
Don't listen.
Spoiler alert.
Yep.
One of the attributes of this fish man is that he can self-heal his wounds.
All right.
And he can bring people back to life. Okay, sort of like Starman. Remember when Starman brought the deer back to life?
Saw it last night.
That's a handy.
What a great movie.
Very similar.
Yep.
It's a handy guy to have around.
But in the end, he gets shot in the chest and killed. And he just pops back up and resurrects and wipes it off his chest, literally, and there's no wound.
Okay.
Brings her back to life.
Okay.
Because she gets shot, too.
You really are.
But wow. I said spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But then during it.
As far as I'm concerned, you're in a clear.
During it, he's getting, like, the hell kicked out of him by Michael Shannon's character, and he just lays there like a bench.
Well, it is in one of the lines.
I think it's a Jesus allegory.
Here's what my problem with it.
Pardon me.
Is that the studio?
Yeah. That's the new line.
Is that someone texting on our new line?
My problem with it was, so they're keeping this creature in like a special lab, and they're like, don't go in there unless you're going to clean, because the lady who falls in love with the fish is a janitress. And they don't have cameras up in the room.
They have them everywhere else.
She brings a record player to work and plays the creature records and feeds it lunch every day and is dancing around with him. And it's like, no one's noticing this? Like, first of all, go dust the library.
It's true. Too many fish in the sea.
It's true.
It was a little unbelievable. Yeah.
Do you think it's really...
But I'm cranky.
Do you think in secret government offices, because you know
they're
they exist...
They're fishmen?
No.
Oh.
There are cleaning people. Do you think there are... Do you think at Area 54... No,
the place is just...
Area 51.
Area 51.
Tony, you're about to say exactly what I said last
Where time. The alien bodies are, do you think that there's a cleaning crew that comes through
yes,
at night?
Yes, Tony, I had this exact question. I'm watching the movie last night, and I thought to myself... At Area 51, do they have janitors, or do they just use, like, the worst scientists to clean the building? Yeah, like, you know what? You didn't do great last quarter. You get to be a janitor for a year.
My guess is last guy out of the office takes the trash and has to dump it out before
So, like, so they've got, like, the world's worst bathrooms at Area 51? Well, no one's cleaning them?
I just don't
think you have to have, like, security clearance to go into this
place.
Are you
going to just... You're going to hire a cleaning crew?
Sure.
To be around the most delicate government secrets?
I
think they make an excellent point.
I don't think that's how it works, Mark.
Yeah, but if you're a scientist.
They're like, you know what? Every Friday, get out a Clorox wipe, do your best.
You're one of the others.
How's it going on that warp
drive? There's some guy walking around with a bag of Vauban on his belt loop.
Right.
Pushing a mop that's got the ultimate
alien pee.
Yeah, it's got the ultimate security clearance above almost everybody on.
Okay, on the flip side, you got the top scientists in the world.
Yeah.
Hey, man, when do you want to go clean the crapper before you go?
That's why I'm saying they hire scientists that have, like, been floating around. They can't find a job because they're not that great. Yeah. But it's like, you know what? We could do you a favor. You could work here at Area 51, but you got to clean. Tell everyone you work here.
Like shady scientists. This guy got fired.
I think the lowest guy, the newest guy on the team. Newest scientist on
Welcome
the team.
Welcome to the team, Johnson.
Yep. Here's a mop.
Yeah, like, if it were us, I would have to clean.
Yeah. Smith threw up last night. Sorry.
I mean, that literally happens, like, on Major League Baseball teams. These guys are making millions.
Yeah.
And the rookies have to, like, clean the bullpen and carry the bags and...
Yeah, but I mean, they're not cleaning the bathrooms. They're not cleaning the showers. They're not taking out the trash.
I still don't think you're just putting...
Sure. If you do and you tell them, just say, hey, be quiet. And if you're not...
Hey, man, be cool. This is Area 51. There's been plenty of
going on.
I am positive that's not how it works.
You know. See that UFO?
Yep.
Don't talk about it.
That guy from Merry Maids? What happened to that guy?
What did I just do?
We asked him on a television show, and Rachel said, what's it on? And you went, Showtime.
Showtime.
Like, where the hell did that come from? Wow, is that weird. Showtime.
I completely didn't mean it.
What show are you on again?
Yeah.
What show are you on again?
Yeah.
The DGS. DGS.
I want to make sure that it's
Showtime.
Kind of got hung up on that.
Oh, that was really, it was funny to do that.
Yeah, it was very odd.
That needs to be there in your promo.
Yep.
I made myself laugh. Showtime.
Exclusively on Showtime.
I have a question.
Showtime.
We're just talking about, hey, Rachel wants to go see Lady Bird. I'm like, oh, it's on Amazon. You can buy it. It's like $14. And Mark goes, oh, a buddy of mine has a Fire Stick where you can watch, like, you know, Iranian porn or whatever. So I know that things are illegal, like if you jailbreak the Fire Stick and stuff. Has anyone ever really been prosecuted? Does anyone know anyone who really?
You hear, like, horror stories, though, of, like, I downloaded 1,000 songs.
Yeah,
in
remember 1999, when that?
And I'm gonna have to, like, I got caught, right, and I have to pay for every single one of them.
Right.
So I just don't think it's worth the risk. I know quite a few people who have jailbroken, or as you said earlier, rat cracked a Fire Stick, and I haven't heard of anyone getting in trouble. But it's not worth it to me.
I was.
I just know I'd be the one, like, in the sting. You know,
I was a Napster maniac back in the day. I had so many songs downloaded on my computer.
Was that remember illegal? That?
Yeah, remember Napster? Remember
that? Yeah, I never knew whether that was, like, I didn't know what it was.
It got, well, I think
it wasn't cool like I am now.
Originally, and then, you know,
Napster.
Napster. It got shut down after a while, but
Napster.
Did you watch Passengers last night on the Amazon? Remember you said, I'll watch it tonight.
Hey.
Passengers.
He said.
And by the time I got done saying it, it was over.
You said, is it on Amazon? We said yes. And you said, I'll watch it tonight. Nope.
No, I was watching Chicago Fire.
You didn't even remember, did you?
I did. I was watching the midst of Chicago Fire right at the pivotal part. There was a fire. And
In Chicago.
Oddly enough. And
boys, this one's in Chicago.
Really, and then before
seen that one coming,
they had
Chicago.
Chicago, what's there? They've got three of them. They've got the fire department, the police department, and a hospital. What's the police one called? Chicago.
It's fine.
Okay.
Move on.
Anyway,
Blue Bloods.
No. What a show. We watch that,
and all
Fern wants to talk about, anybody that's seen Blue Bloods, and every episode, they have a big family dinner on Sunday, and Tom Selleck is like
Duck Dynasty.
Pretty much the same. Everybody you talk to that sees that show goes, oh, to have that kind of a Sunday meal. I mean, they're killing guys, or people are getting, you know, all kinds of stuff, and they all refer back to the Sunday meal. Of course, this is Tom Selleck. What was the question?
Did you watch Passenger?
No, I did not.
Man, Tom Selleck still looks great.
Some
guys always look handsome.
That's true, but he's got some hair dye going on. There's that. Too much. He needs to back off the
shoe. You know what I like about Tom Selleck, though? He doesn't, if he's had work done, it doesn't show.
Yes.
And he's not thin.
He's a big man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, good for you.
Yeah. It's the only thing, it's just his hair is just, even his mustache is just pitch black.
He's talking the heck out of reverse mortgages.
Hey. I know what you're thinking.
Yep.
These are just
too good to be true.
You're taking up the pooper.
It's too good to be true.
I checked it out.
What do you think?
I want to see him and William Devane go at it.
Yep.
Oh.
Take all that and put it into gold. Yeah. They call.
Yeah, reverse mortgage your house and buy a bunch of gold. Or silver. William Devane screws me up on a daily
basis. It's every week.
I'm always talking about one of those two precious metals.
He's like, there's only one thing I've been doing for the last 20 years.
And he goes, silver, gold.
Sometimes it's gold, sometimes it's silver.
When you think of me, you only think of one thing. Gold. No,
silver. Well, sometimes. So you call Magnum PI and you want them to do your reverse mortgage commercial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you pay a cat like that? What do you think he gets? It's a national spot.
$100,000.
Oh, I bet you it's more than that.
I'd say half a mil.
I'd say at least half a million bucks.
Really?
Oh, I bet.
Smart Mouth isn't paying me that much.
Well. No, I'm buying it. Smart Mouth.
Smart Mouth. That's going to be my thing. I call it.
You got it.
You can have it.
Go ahead.
No one's there. It's all yours, fella.
It's yours.
I wish I could talk stupid.
So, wouldn't it be great if I didn't show up tomorrow?
I wish.
And then you guys put on Showtime for you here. Showtime.
He did it.
Glover got a new gig. He got a new gig.
Bastard.
I'm Dave. For you did live, sorry. I'm Dave Glover for Showtime. You've got it.
Really
it's fun. All yours, brother. No one's knocking you down to get to it.
Do you see that they say there's a 99% chance that was Amelia Earhart
Yes.
Whose bones they found, like, no kidding, 4 years after she crashed. Yeah, some, some like, scientist in Fiji or something, which I don't think is really a thing. Mm. Back then...
Scientists or Fiji?
Either one.
They can't go together. You could be one or the other, but
although
you ain't...
Fiji is, I found, in Melanesia, where 1% of me is from.
Yeah, so you, love so you're day. Fijian?
Yes, and Jewish.
He's a Jewish.
I'm a Fijian Viking.
Maury the Islander? Is that what you...
This is a diverse show.
Yeah, hire me, Intercom. You're covered.
Intercom? Yes, it would be. You are. You've got a little bit of everything going on.
You can make whatever joke you want about Fiji and then go, hey,
I'm Fijian.
Fijian.
Chill out, man. I'm Fijian. Yeah.
I can talk to you.
The scientist that originally did the measuring said this is a stocky European man of about 5'7", 5'8".
Okay.
And evidently the way the science of looking at bones back then was really very behind. And so now they no longer have the bones, but they have this report. And they said she was 5'8" and stockily built, and this is probably her. Yeah.
I'll be darned. Have we seen pictures of the new...
Short hair. How would that show for the bones?
Basically with, like, you know, bobby pins.
It appears this person has short, choppy hair.
Bobby pins and...
Well, I didn't see a bra on the skeleton.
That's right.
So
well, there are a lot of stuff you didn't see. Have we seen the new Barbie, Amelia Earhart?
Yes, I have. She's
cute. You have. And?
Yeah. She's too pretty.
Is she?
She doesn't look like Amelia.
Have you seen him?
She looks like a doll. I mean, they're going to make a doll look pretty. Okay. They're not going to be like, you know what? Take it down a couple of notches.
Yeah.
I think she looks cute.
She got short hair?
She does look cute, but she shouldn't.
She does have short hair. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at a photo of Amelia Earhart right now, and I'm like, mm.
So is she, do they dress her like in the little leather jacket?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Same
good.
Frida. Same thing with skeleton.
Frida Kahlo.
They did do the eyebrows.
Unibrow.
They have to.
But it's not a unibrow. They're just big eyebrows.
What?
There's
Hold
a
on.
Separation.
That's, she's known for using her unibrow in all of her work. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Not for Barbie.
I'm not buying that.
You know what? I'm over Barbie. That's what did it.
You turn fast.
Said the 26-year-old.
Yes. Yeah. I think I'm ready to get rid of these.
I'm not playing with my dream house anymore.
This is so stupid. Give her a unibrow. It's Frida Kahlo.
Give them all a unibrow.
Right?
Yeah. There's. Yeah.
That's the dumbest thing.
Give Amelia Earhart a unibrow.
She's got some skinny arms.
Under her nose.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me pull it back up.
Look how skinny her arms are.
You know what? But her arms are super thin in all of her self-portraits. Her outfit is right. Her hair is right. Give her a unibrow.
Bony arms. What's, show us some, Amelia.
Okay. Hold on.
It's a great radio here in Close Talk. Off the mic, behind her back.
Show me Amelia.
Show me.
Me, Amelia. Ding, 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 ding.
I'm like nervous. I'm not typing quickly enough.
Really?
Here's Amelia. Sorry, I keep clicking on the wrong dang thing. Here we go.
Oh, right. Come on!
Okay, yeah, she's...
Yeah, no.
Too pretty.
No. Who's on the right?
That's the woman from Hidden Figures.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, look, there's a baseball commercial. Who's playing?
God! Mark, look at that. Just stay over here. I'll just stare at Mike forever. See, this is the real Frida Kahlo.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're still going on with this.
Could you print that for me?
I will, yeah. Someone else say something.
I'm back. Show may continue.
Man, I'm looking at some of the other Barbies that they just came out with. I don't even know. I don't know who they are.
I don't know much of it.
Tony, don't be disrespectful on International Women's Day.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No kidding.
Yep.
Way to go, Tony.
Man, can we edit that part out?
Tony. Bindi Irwin.
Oh, they gave her
That's Steve Irwin's
little...
daughter.
Okay.
They gave her a few little stray hairs in the middle here. For her unibrow. That's still stupid.
Bindi Irwin's got her own Barbie doll?
Misty Copeland.
Who's that?
Ice skater? No.
Don't know. She has a Barbie doll, though.
She's an athlete, I think. How about Stormy Daniels?
I thought you were a feminist.
Have they got a Stormy Daniels doll?
I think that's just normal Barbie.
Stormy Daniels won't stand up.
I think Stormy's cute. I've never thought a porn star was cute before at all.
Mm-hmm.
She looks adorable. Like a pretty girl. Okay. If that makes any sense at all.
I don't know. I'm sure there's been some porn stars that are cute.
Well, I haven't seen them.
Ron Jeremy? What a doll.
Not showing up on my porn hub.
You almost dated the one. I mean, so, you know, she was cute, wasn't she?
She had glasses. Meant she was smart.
Yeah. Smarter than you.
She has a future.
Smarter than you.
She can be saved from this life.
I'm here for my date.
She wears horn rim glasses.
Is it? Never mind.
Won't go anywhere good. Okay.
The next big litigation has just happened. A court just ruled that a rural funeral home.
I hate that word too.
I do too. I hate it. Violated the law when its male funeral director, who was doing a fine job, let's call him Gus, decided he was going to become Nancy.
Okay.
And she told them, he told them, I'm going to transition into a woman. And they said, well, you can't do it here. One, because it violates our religious beliefs. And two, because you're going to freak out people whose grandpa just died.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't have that. And so they fired her, and she sued, and she won. So that's going to be, that's the next, like, gay cake.
So it could happen in a school, if a school teacher,
anywhere.
Right.
And one of the arguments that the lawyer made for the funeral home, beyond religious beliefs, was that we have a dress code. And we can't have a man dressed as a woman because that violates our dress code, which seems like kind of a bootstrap sort of argument. Yeah. But then their main argument was just like, come on. And I think you guys will remember this. And hopefully give me credit. I said like a year or two ago that if you think about it, when you talk about transsexuals, transgender people, typically people have talked about them being passable, meaning, hey, you could really believe that this is a woman. And I said that can't be a thing legally. It can't be that if someone walks into a women's bathroom looking clearly like a man with a wig, you can't say, oh, no, you can't go in.
You're not a good enough
person. Right. Yes. Right, exactly.
Yes.
I clearly remember that conversation.
And evidently this person was not very, quote unquote, passable.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, people aren't going to be able to focus on anything other than a man is dressed as a woman taking out a casket. And the court held what I said, that that is not an element of it. Hmm. It can't be. You're an attractive-ish woman, even though you're a man. Mm-hmm. It's just whatever you identify as and decide to dress as and appear as and be, that is now your legal identity. Right. And no one can fire anything based on it.
Yeah, you don't even have to dress, do you?
No.
You can just say, you can come in a three-piece suit.
Yeah, if you're a guy, it's saying I'm trans. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of sex, or lack thereof, I got a really interesting email. It's way too long to read, but someone emailed and said they are very much in love with a woman and are thinking about getting engaged. They've never had the greatest sex life, and the woman told him that she is asexual, as in medically diagnosably has zero interest in sex.
Okay.
But she's wonderful and funny and smart, and she wants to be with him. And he's saying, like, is this the craziest thing ever to marry someone you know you're just not going to have a sexual relationship with?
Depends on how important sex is to you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Or just for the average person?
I don't think the average person could do that.
In some ways, it'd be sort of a relief. Like, if it just wasn't a thing.
But it's got to be, it's not going to be a thing for both of them. I mean, if one has desires and the other doesn't, I don't see that working out very well. I mean, Ann Landers doesn't think so. That's every other day in Ann Landers.
Really? Yeah, go. That's a big one.
Oh, just, you know, my wife, my husband, my boyfriend, my girlfriend has totally lost their sex drive and is killing our relationship.
What is her advice?
Her basically says is you've got to have your desires and your wants, and they got to be met. And if they're not, you need to move on.
Ann?
Well, no. I mean, well, because if you're otherwise, aren't you kind of living a lie? Are you looking somewhere else to fulfill those needs?
Then what if someone said, hey, life's not all about that. Why don't you find something else to replace that, since it's the person you're committed to?
Yeah, but if you're married, like, to be married to someone, like, that's kind of part of the expectations of marriage.
And I think that,
traditionally.
Yeah.
So, it's totally up to the guy. If he thinks, like, I don't need this, like, then fine. But for the average person, then, yeah, I think it would bother the average person. And I think it's it's wrong to be like, oh, you just need to get over it. It's like, yeah, but that's people get married to do that with just each other. So
I just saw this headline come across. McDonald's flipped the golden arches upside down.
I saw that.
For International Women's Day.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be boobs?
I think it'd be a W.
It's a W.
W yeah, for, yeah.
It would.
But it'd be boobs. Though.
Yeah, but it'd be boobs, too. They're arches.
Yeah, but they're pretty low-riding boobs, aren't they? I mean, good grief.
They had to be good.
What are they, from like a 95-year-old woman or something?
Depends
or?
On your perspective.
Well.
Where you're looking at them from.
Well, but if the sign's right in front of you and it's upside down, it's like.
Can we have the technical boys in the truck? Get us the McDonald's logo upside down.
Okay.
Can we just judge?
Yeah.
Well, you can probably, if you probably
these
click
boobs on International Women's Day.
Man.
I see it right here on the computer. We don't need to generate it.
That was fast. Yeah. Thank you, boys.
Guys, it looks like a W, Dave. It does not look like boobs.
Well, that's you.
Those are,
close,
like Close said, those are terrible boobs.
Those are some sagging boobs, brother. That's, you know, that's, and again, not that there's anything wrong with that.
McDonald's boobs.
No, but
it's
they're
clear to me.
Go back again.
Oh.
There's Close off the mic again.
Rachel and Close do Google image search.
You guys need to do a podcast together where Mark's in the back of the room.
All right. I see it a little bit.
A little bit.
No, it's because they don't.
This just in, Rachel Zimmerman doesn't think Spaceballs is funny.
I didn't say that. I said, watching back, it's less funny than I remember as a child.
I will have your back, even though you're just mean to me. I agree with you.
I'll disagree with both of you.
Mm-hmm,
and so will Tony.
Yep.
And we're better than you.
The boys in the truck need to get us a copy of Spaceballs.
Spaceballs
and
immediately.
Watch that the rest of the show.
It's every... balls. Every line in it is so... It's just Mel Brooks exemplified. It's perfect.
I think it's a hollow shell of Blazing Saddles. I don't think they even compare.
Young Frankenstein, where do you put that?
I don't think it's
above or beyond Blazing Saddles.
If Blazing Saddles a 10.
A tie or above.
Spaceballs is an 8. It's not that level, but it's still funny.
Yep.
Can I ask you things, whether you think you're going to see these in your lifetime?
Yeah.
Teleportation.
No.
No.
Controlling the weather.
No.
Yes.
No.
That's Dave Murray's job.
Yep.
Traveling to living on Mars.
Yes.
Traveling to for sure.
Yeah.
Living under the sea.
Yes.
Us? We're not going to see that. That will happen.
Rachel might. I'm 64. I'm not going to see.
I got some time left.
Yeah. Flying cars.
I'm not seeing the next Olympics.
I don't think flying cars are practical, so no.
Oh, they just had.
The flying taxi, though.
Yes. It's an airplane car, and they just showed
it's
it
a Porsche,
at.
Isn't it?
Pardon me?
I think it's a Porsche.
All I know is they showed it at the auto show in Sweden, and it's $685,000 and does 110 miles an hour.
That's cost effective.
Yep.
Robots in every home.
Yes.
A cure for cancer.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Go ahead. Keep going. This is fun.
Welcome back, guys. 411 DGS. We have the think tank coming up 1 hour from now. Caller Daniel needs a ruling. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, so I just needed a ruling from y'all.
Yeah.
So I was in line at the grocery store, and I had 4 items. And there's a lady behind me that had 2 items. And she kind of tapped me on the shoulder and did the shrug of, like, hey, I just have a couple items. Can I sneak in front of you? And so I just had 4 items. So at first I was thinking, like, it's not like I have a cart full of stuff, but, you know, I just have 4 things. But then the look she gave me, I was like, well, I'll err on the side of being overly polite and let her sneak in front of me because maybe I'm not picking up on a social cue or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then she just rang her 2 items out and then left, and it didn't seem like she was in an emergency or anything like that. So I was trying to figure out, am I overly polite, or is that kind of weird that if you have just 1 item less than the person you...
I think yes and yes. I think you're overly polite, and I think you should be proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
I never think you can be. Honestly, I don't think you can be too polite. But she is not polite, and that's weird.
Yeah.
And it's different if you had a cart load of stuff and she had 2 items.
Sure, sure.
Personally, I would never ask to cut in front of anyone for any reason unless it was a true emergency.
Right.
But if it's a true emergency, get the hell out of Schnucks.
Exactly.
I think you did the right thing, but I don't think you necessarily would have had to have done
was
it.
It's like asking someone to give you a present.
Yeah. Was she very thankful and grateful afterwards?
Oh, no, she grabbed her stuff and just left, but she didn't seem to be in a rush to leave either.
Anyone who would ask to cut in front of you when you have four items and they have two, they're a dick. You know, I mean, and they're not going to be thankful.
I'm extremely sensitive to that, especially since we usually have a lot of groceries. But even if I don't, even if I only have a basket worth or something,
and somebody's got one or two things, go ahead. I do it too.
I am way sensitive to that, and like let them go through. But if I was only, if I only had four things, it wouldn't even occur to me to let somebody go.
What if that happened to you? I would. I'm such a punk. I would always let someone go through unless they were a jerk.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to get in a fight about it.
But would you?
I'd probably give them an eye roll, but I'd let them go through.
I'd let them go through because to me, the awkward silence of you both waiting after you just said no.
Right.
You know,
I think I would say something like,
that's what I said. It's like asking someone to give you a present. It's like when someone offers to let you skip ahead in line, it's a really nice thing. It's a gesture. You don't ask someone for a gesture.
Right.
Yeah, I think every time I've done it, which has been, you know, a bunch, the person has always said like, Are you sure? Like they weren't. Yeah, wasn't like they were expecting
it. Most people say no.
Yeah, like it's not like they were expecting it.
Fun facts?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyone know where the word phony comes from? As in, Mark, you're a total phony.
You're a phony.
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 It's Latin?
It's not.
It's Greek?
No.
It's Greek to me. It's.
Comes from the word telephone.
Okay.
Because when telephones were first in everyone's home, they thought that it changed your voice so much that they would say, oh, you sound phony.
Like not you.
Look
at that.
How about that?
I think it's based on Latin, though. I mean, from Latin phones.
Anyone know the guy that created Captain Crunch? What else he created?
Crunch berries?
That's what I was going to say.
Rocky and Bullwinkle.
No kidding. Ward?
J. Ward.
Yeah.
They asked him to come up with a cereal based on a cartoon character, and he came up with Captain Crunch.
Do you ever watch any of the original Rocky and Bullwinkle?
I hate them.
Really?
The whole fractured fairy tales, that whole era of cartoons something may have been happening to me as a kid.
Right.
Some neighbor might have got a hold of me or something and made me watch fractured fairy tales.
Right.
But Commander McBragg and Underdog and all that stuff is very dark to me.
Yeah, yeah. Man, Bullwinkle was really political. If you go back and look, it was very political.
It was very different too.
Oh yeah. It wasn't the Bugs Bunny Woody Woodpecker.
Yeah, it wasn't the comforting racism of Bugs Bunny.
Yes. That made us feel so good.
There are approximately 4.9 million barrels of bourbon currently aging in the state of Kentucky. There are only 404 million people.
There's a friend of mine who I'm going to see tonight, lives in Paducah, Kentucky, and he says the bourbon tours are the coolest thing in the world.
Never been on one.
Yeah, I said they're really neat.
James Caan was improvising when he said bada bing in Godfather, just made it up.
Really?
That's cool.
That's the thing. And Bill Withers wrote Ain't No Sunshine while he was working at a windowless factory making toilet seats for airplanes.
Yeah. All right.
It's kind of cool.
How many toilet seats?
Okay. But do you need your whole factory?
Well, yeah, that you need a I didn't think there was.
Crank it up, boys.
Yeah. Well, how many
it's almost Christmas.
Yeah, how many airplanes, you know, or. Oh, good.
Headlines range.
A truck driver spilled 60,000 pounds of beer onto an interstate in Florida. I saw the photo of it. It looked like a bunch of cases of Busch beer. The driver of the truck was cited for careless driving. I wonder who gets to clean that up, and how do you clean it up? I guess you just take a hose.
I wonder if it's like the ServPro, those professional guys that come in, and I don't know if the street department or the state department brings in. That's a good question.
Any of you ever get pulled over as a kid and get made to pour all the beer down the sewer?
Mark, when we got...
That's a moment.
Back in the day when we got pulled, the cops would take the beer.
Yeah.
And they would say they'd have a once a month party
with all the beer.
The police and drink all the beer. Then that's the story. So.
Yeah, they used to make us pour it down the sewer.
That hurts.
Caught us.
Gainesville, hold on. There was a man. Guys, I'm sorry. I wasn't prepared for headlines today.
There was a man. Flustered.
He was in Gainesville.
It was in Gainesville.
So there was a Gainesville man.
You told me today was going to be really good again.
Yep.
I thought it was.
Gainesville.
he kept honking at a police car, which is just like, come on. Why would you put yourself in that position?
Yeah, that's not a good move.
So the police were like, all right, I'll pull him over. This is excessive honking. And they found in his car a handgun, a loaded magazine, and $10,000 in cash and marijuana and alcohol. So it's like, all right, I get that you're probably high, but maybe don't draw so much attention to yourself because you're going to get pulled over and everyone's going to find
out. There was a story a couple weeks ago about a guy that pulled up behind a cop car at a stop light, and the light changed, and the cop was sitting there.
Honked.
He beeped a couple times.
I think that was here.
He was here in St. Louis.
That's right, and he wrote him a ticket, right?
Yeah.
But then they made him, he got out of the ticket.
Yeah,
well, I think so.
There was footage of that, and that was like, that guy shouldn't have gotten a ticket. It was an unmarked car.
Yeah.
He was sitting at the green light.
Right.
It's not. I get if it's excessive honking, you're just laying
on
the floor
on,
being obnoxious, but for you to be like, beep, beep, that doesn't give a police officer a right to give you a ticket.
Yeah.
I thought, I've been fairly consistent on this, that if you try to get out of a crime in a funny way, I'll let you off. Like, there was just one in my show prep today where a guy drove to court in a stolen car to stand charges for stealing cars. Let him go. Or, like, when someone's pulled over, not to make light of DUI because it's terrible, or the guy was pulled over for DUI and they asked for his license and he gave him a taco.
Yeah.
Let him go.
Yeah.
66% of millennials have nothing saved for retirement.
Oh, I just got the breakdown. Like, the official breakdown. Because we're always arguing about what it is.
Yeah.
I don't have it. But I think millennials go up to 38 years old. Does that sound about right?
Is it that old?
1986.
Man,
that seems old for me.
That's a high ceiling.
86 is not 38.
Okay.
38 would be 1980. Well, 79, 80.
Go through all the categories again. Baby boomers.
Baby boomers. I know I'm the last year, officially.
From like, to like 64. 64?
1965 starts Generation X.
Okay.
And goes through...
Wikipedia has Generation X as the late 60s to the early 80s.
Sounds right.
What was Mark's generation that was for like 2 years? Generation Y?
Yeah, remember that there was... Yeah, that was the story that he had.
Yeah.
I read it out of the paper.
It was in USA Today.
Yes, they don't lie.
Right.
So yesterday we talked about how... Yesterday we talked about how Alexa is giving out evil laughs and refusing to obey people. So you could say like, hey, Alexa, can you lock my doors? And she would just start laughing. Well, Amazon has addressed this. They said, we're aware of this. We're working to fix it. It turns out these are more of a false positive. So instead of Alexa hearing you say, can you lock my doors? Alexa's hearing you say, can you laugh? So that's why that's what they're telling us is why she's giving out this like evil witch laugh. But
you guys, I don't know.
Google's got millennials at 81 to 96.
Oh, that'd be pretty close.
Are
you guys at all bothered by, like, Amazon is going to be the third largest bank and Google, Facebook? I mean, I'll have to be honest. I don't think about it at all. But should we? Should we be concerned that, like, these three companies are basically taking over the world?
You know, I don't. It sounds concerning, but I think it's always kind of been that way. Like, I was watching a year or so ago something, I think it was The Men Who Built America, and they talked about when J.P. Morgan, the man, J.P. Morgan, lent the United States of America enough money to get out of debt and basically kept him personally, kept the United States economy going. So the country owed itself
survival
to
J.P.
Morgan. So that's... That to me is worse, even worse than having Amazon and Google control. Like, so it's been like that in the past.
I think you're always going to, like Disney just keeps buying stuff. So
it's
always been big, powerful entities.
The whole world will be our magical kingdom once they're in charge. For my final story here, you know it is International Women's Day. The Insane Clown Posse tweeted out earlier today. Oh, no, this is from 2013, but it just got retweeted onto my Twitter timeline. I don't care what we've said in our raps. Women come number one. We all owe our lives to women. So listen to the Insane Clown Posse. It's so true.
Are they still still a thing?
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Are they with the Faygo Orange Pop?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what that was?
4:30 DGS Think Tank coming up at 5 p.m. Dave Murray joined us from Fox 2. What's up, Dave?
Hey. Hello, hello.
Man, this is weird weather.
Lots of sunshine, but man, it's cold outside.
I feel like the last... Like, if you said, hey, Dave, what's the weather been the last 2 weeks? I couldn't tell you. Or it's been everything. pick.
Everything. That would go along a lot.
No question. Yeah. You can remember last weekend was gorgeous.
Yep. Mm.
Yeah. This weekend, not so.
No.
But it's warming up a little bit, right? A little bit?
Yeah, but it's, yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Yes, but there'll be clouds around. I'm just not convinced you're going to walk outside and go, oh, yeah, it's definitely warmer. Mm. And you're going to go, yeah, it's cloudy and it's still kind of chilly. Oh, and here comes some rain on Sunday. Ugh.
Did the nor'easter live up to its height?
Yeah, I think so. I think both of them have. Yeah, they're, you know, a couple of feet of snow. I think there's 800,000 without power back there. And that's a lot of people.
Mm.
That's
good. What are the chances we're going to get out of winter without a, you know, say even a 4-inch snowfall?
Probably pretty good.
Whew.
But I'm not going to say it's a definite yet.
But you would not be surprised
that if we got out without it?
Yeah.
I think I'd be more surprised if we got out without it.
Would you, do you guys, like, I hope we get a snowfall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just like
I
to
think
live
most people do.
All of life. I would, right. I would like every year to have, like, a fairly substantial snowfall.
As long as March goes away very quickly.
That's what I like. It can go crazy. We can get 7-8 inches. As long as it's gone in 2 days, happy guy.
I agree. I am totally with you that I want it to, I want at least one big snowfall every year. But I feel like the ship has sailed this year. I know. I'm over it.
There's things already. I've got, what are the little plants, little flowers they call flags?
Pot?
Well, that's always growing in my house.
Snowdrops?
I thought
snowdrops are up.
Like or flags?
That are up.
You mean squalls.
Oh. Anyway.
Vortex? Polar vortex?
No, flags. Little flags. They're plants.
Super flowers.
Are they called flags? No, I think they're called snow. No, I think they're called flags.
No, flags.
I'm going to Google it.
You're giving me a bunch of different names, and they have a beautiful little flower.
Not acceptable.
No.
You're asking for the names.
Blue flag iris?
That's probably what it is.
No, it's way too cold for
that. Shut up, Close.
You know, I live further south than you, Dave, and it's amazing how fast things are warming
like
up there.
The Gulf Coast?
Yeah, pretty much. It's a hell of a commute, but it's worth it.
I was listening to a podcast last night from like a couple days ago, and we were asking Dave about the full moon, and he was like, oh, there's nothing special about it. And Mark goes, I think it's different where I live.
It shines better.
Yeah,
it
shines it's better. Definitely different where you live.
That's it. Yeah, that's true.
Dave, I saw a little a special package on a different station this morning, so they may be full of crap, but they were basically saying that I've always heard if you can time it, throw grass seed down before the last snow of the year.
And that's always great. Fertilize and you know, especially if it's like late March, early April.
Yeah, they said it's total crap.
Oh, no, I don't believe that at all. Because it settles the seed in. And
they said you'll just be wasting your seed.
No. No. Well, now, if you did it in January or February, you'd be wasting your seed. But, you know, as we get ready to turn the corner and you get something like that, it works great.
I did it back in December in my house. That's how warm it's been.
Yeah, but the birds thanked you.
Yeah.
Remember one time when I first realized, people listen to the show. I went off on a hatchery because I went in like July to get grass seed, which is dumb, but I didn't know that because I'm dumb, and they called me dumb. Like, they were really mean to me.
Yeah?
They're just like, yeah, man, we'll sell it to you real cheap. Like, they're those guys. So I came on the air with my butt
that.
All hurt, and I called them out by name, and they, like, called John Beck and wanted me fired. I'm like, well,
you're the ones that were.
Yeah, you're the asset. You know, it's like you're the ones who did that.
You just said never a microphone.
Some hatchery.
Yeah.
There can't be that many hatcheries around.
No. I know of a couple.
See, now Tony would say, no, I definitely can plant seed in July.
See, which is why you really need to be careful who you hire. Because I'm sure the owners would not have been mean to an idiot like me walking in wanting to plant grass seed in July.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
You're probably right.
But,
they'd laugh at you later, but
that's no problem.
That's the face of your company.
Absolutely.
Just like the face of the Dave Glover Show is Taliban. Wait a second.
Whoa. I've had success.
We're going to have to fire you because of that, Dave. Sorry.
I've had success growing grass in July.
It's colder in Hazelwood, though.
Yeah, you're up north.
Yeah, he's
Yeah, you're up north. I'm down south.
That must be it.
I got the pool open, koi pond. Oh, yeah, koi coming out the...
Man, that was funny when Ying we were Yang. Crushing Weber.
Go for his koi pond. Man. And then you go, oh, the heater's gone. He goes, well, I kind of do have a heater in my koi pond. Well, pardon me.
Yeah, we're making fun of him for something he actually has.
He actually had.
What if you were rich enough to, oh.
Yeah. That would be you.
Here's something funny. You got a heater your koi pond.
Uh-huh.
Two, actually.
Yep.
Got a corner? Gotta
keep them warm.
Sure. Two things. Number one, I went to the DMV.
What's that stand for?
Division of Motor Vehicles.
Oh.
I went to one of the private ones because, you know, there's state-run and there's private.
Yes.
You can buy, you can
which
get a friend.
Which better?
Gotta be private.
I get, well,
gotta
I know.
Be.
Supposedly
Deer Creek rocks.
Yeah, it used to be the deal that if you knew somebody and he contributed to the right cat.
It's like getting an AB.
Exactly.
One of those things.
Exactly. Exactly. Went in and out. Fastest, I almost stopped and wanted to talk to the guy. We got in so fast. Got plates, 2 years plates, in and out. Of course, now I had all my right papers with me.
Duh.
Duh. Well, shoot. Some of these people
I
don't.
I have papers they never seen.
That's right. Let me show him my birth certificate. This is my Cub Scout troop. But I got it. In and out. Thank you very much, DMV.
Sam's Club membership.
That's right. Does this count as anything? Good driver's certificate?
Now, in eighth grade, I was marked down for penmanship.
That's right. Oh, we'll give you a discount
then. I
hope
that won't count against me.
And I'm now I'm going to fall on my sword from yesterday.
Okay.
With the I'm going to I'm screwing
people
up again.
Of color.
Social Security and Medicare.
Oh,
remember
you,
we were talking
you were
about
a,
that?
You were having a real hard time with that yesterday.
I'm 64 and a half. So I need to
50.
I'm 50. 64 and a half, so I need to sign up for Medicare. Well, you sign up through Medicare. Hold on. You're going to be there someday.
Going to be a lot of places someday.
Yeah. You sign up to Social Security. That's what got me screwed up. So I'm calling. I call the Social Security, and the gal calls me back, and I'm like, I'm ready to get, you know, I need to sign up. And she goes, well, are you ready to get benefits? And I said, no. And I was saying, I'm going to write Social Security instead of Medicare. It was my mistake, but it's not all my mistake because the fact Ryan, he's playing a sound effects. Get a good one.
That was weird.
I thought that was Dave Murray dropping out.
That was weird.
I did drop out.
Okay.
I did drop out.
And he came back?
I can't believe
wow.
You.
What kind of life must you have if you came back to this?
I'm getting ready to drop out again.
Yeah. You and all the listeners.
It felt like my brain dropped out. Catch me up. What did I miss?
Why should anybody
have
be any different?
On
anyway.
What did he sign up for that he didn't have to?
I am apologizing to the U.S. government. Because it was my mistake and I feel bad. And I'm sorry that it happened.
That you kept saying.
I'm sure they appreciate that.
Because I'm sure they will. I'm sure I'll get a fruit basket of some sort. But you get your Medicare by going through socialsecurity.gov.
Okay.
And
you have to sign up for that.
Yes, you do.
You
yes,
guys,
you do.
My hand totally smells like spaghetti now. Smell it.
So that's closest corner.
Not at all, but I've got the other thing I was going to. We got time?
Doesn't sound like it.
Just, we got to make time.
Oh, okay.
You got to pull this out somehow.
Okay.
He's going to his notes.
He's got my notes.
Long pause. Yeah, we don't have that much time. We'll take a very long
he's
pause.
He's going to his paperwork.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, I am. This is, yet there was another threat at Alton High School that some kid wrote right on the outside of the school.
Well,
I'm going to shoot this place up.
Subtle.
Okay. Parkway West. Couple of weeks ago.
Did they
had
catch
a threat.
The Alton kid?
Yes. They're catching every one of these. They're finding
good.
Every one of these kids.
What are they doing to them?
That's the question.
What would you do to them?
I'd expel them immediately. I'd expel them immediately, and I'd
I
also...
I guarantee you that's not happening.
I know, but I would.
I would put them in jail.
I would also do
I
that.
I think that whatever that would be, causing mayhem or disturbing
yes.
the peace...
Absolutely. It's and, you know, if you're 15 years old, don't give me... I know you're a juvenile by law, but you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. And I'm,
100
there's a,
hours of community service.
Exactly. Picking up trash up and down 270 for like 6 months in a row. Absolutely. You've got to do something. This has got to stop. This is not a joke. This is not funny. This is not excusable. Because you are 15 years old, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear.
What are the chances that, let's just take this 15-year-old that wrote on the school, I'm going to shoot all of you.
Right.
What are the chances that there's not something significantly wrong with this person?
I would say, in most part, there's not anything significantly wrong. They're just being a punk smart ass that thinks it's funny. You really think there's something deep inside?
I've been 15. I've known a lot of 15-year-olds. I was weird. Most of them are weird. But I think to have the thought, I'm going to write, I'm going to shoot everyone on the school, and then to do it, I think there has to be something significantly wrong.
I don't know. I think sometimes some kids just think that's funny.
They just think it's funny.
Yeah, I think that was his excuse. He said it was just a joke.
Right. It's a joke. But you know what? It's not a joke.
It's not a joke.
And you're going to be held responsible for it. And I'm with you, Dave. It's like tons of community service and put them in jail, solitary confinement for a night or two. No one can get to them. Just make the point, you know, it's like this is not acceptable. And now it's just kind of like all these guys that are red. I've got Kansas City. I've got Waynesville. I've got Houston, Missouri.
There's 800 of them in the past couple of weeks.
Yes.
Literally.
Oh, and there's a whole big story today about copycat threats rise across the USA. It's unacceptable. I don't care.
Welcome back, guys. We have the Think Tank coming up in about 10 minutes. Going to talk to Frank Cusimano, hopefully momentarily, about the Mizzou game that just finished not too many minutes ago. Right now, we welcome Michelle Corey from the BBB. Hi, Michelle.
Hello, Dave.
So you guys, like every other business, have like super high tech and all the information, and you collate all the data from year to year. And in 2017, the biggest risk to consumers was online purchasing scams, right?
That's right. And that data was based on 47,000 scams reported last year to BBB Scam Tracker. And this data was analyzed based on consumer exposure, susceptibility, and monetary loss. And there is really three significant changes found from the 2016 data. One was tax collection scams decreased 60% volume of reports, and it was really attributable to a couple of things. One, a major arrest in India on a ringleader of a network of call centers, handling these IRS impersonation scams. And also BBB had a widespread education campaign to help decrease this kind of fraud. The other second was online purchase scams jumped from fourth riskiest scam to the top spot. And the third was home improvement scams dropped from first to sixth being the riskiest scams. And then finally, the report also found, this is kind of interesting, that young people continue to be at higher risk for scams, and susceptibility decreases with age. So that's something to think about. You know, the older we get, the smarter we get.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, but it almost seems kind of backwards, because you always hear about the elderly being scammed with, like, you know, the...
Not online, because they're probably uncomfortable being online.
Good point.
Anyway.
Good point.
That's right.
I almost took another IQ test the other day.
Yeah, speaking of the elderly and getting scammed.
Yes. It cost me $14 a month for 2 years, and I was like, I can beat this one.
Yes, you can.
God.
Wow.
All things better business, go to BBB.org. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you, guys.
So I'm not sure we're going to have Frank here.
I think he was at Scott Trade for this. I think he had a bad connection. Oh, I hope
I bet that's it.
I don't think he got beat up. I think he's probably distraught because Mizzou lost.
I think he got beat up because he was crying. I bet Steve Savard kicked his ass.
No crying in basketball.
I looked at the score about an hour ago when there was 10. Okay, well, we'll talk to him about it.
Frank, you there?
Yes.
Oh,
what
good.
The hell, Frank?
Yeah, guys, it's almost like typical Mizzou in a sense. I hate to say that, but you have this looming game with Kentucky, 22,000, the unbelievable atmosphere, and they lose to a team that's 7-11 in the SEC.
Yeah.
And they just don't play well. I mean, you shoot 22 of 64 for the game. You can't beat teams like that.
Right.
You missed 25 shots in the first half. And there's your story. I mean, you didn't put the ball in the goal.
So
did not make shots.
Is Mizzou standing right behind you?
Yeah. Yes. Is Michael Porter Jr. next to you?
I'm actually in a media room waiting for the players to come in.
So. Get loud, man.
Yeah.
So wow. I was just about to say before we went to you that I looked at the score about an hour ago, and there was like 9 minutes to go or something, and Mizzou was down by 10. And even looking at that, not watching any of the game or seeing anything that's going on, I thought to myself, well, that's bad, but I'm sure they'll come back. The final score was 62-60, so it was probably at least an exciting ending. Did they just not start playing basketball until it was too late, or what happened?
Well, yeah, they paid a horrible price for that first half where they couldn't shoot it. Then late, Michael Porter hit a three to cut it to 61-60 with about a minute to go. And Missouri had a chance on the last possession to tie the game, and Cassius Robertson just missed it. Mm. I think a lot of people are wondering, how did Michael Porter do today? Well, he looked like a guy who hadn't played in 100 days.
Yeah.
He was 5 of 17 from the field, but he did some good things. He had 12 points. He had 8 rebounds. He wasn't razor sharp. His brother, Jonte, was the reason the Zoo was in this game. He ended up with 20 points, but it's really a disappointing thing because so many St. Louis fans wanted to see Mizzou in this tournament, especially against Kentucky, and now Georgia will be the team playing tomorrow afternoon.
What does it do to the NCAA?
Yeah.
That's a great question. They came in here with a 33 ratings power index, 33 RPI, which means they're in. You don't want to have too much suspense on Selection Sunday. And I guess if some of these bubble teams who are out had incredible weekends in their conference tournaments, that could have hurt Mizzou. But I think with their resume in this conference with 20 victories, I think they're going to be in on Sunday.
Yeah, so Selection Sunday is this Sunday, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
What kind of seed would you expect them to get?
Yeah,
that hurts them because I believe now they've lost 7 of their last 12 games. So I think they're looking at a 9 or a 10 seed, maybe an 11 seed. Who knows? Kind of depends on what happens this weekend with the other games. But they will not get a good seed. They'll be happy to get in this NCAA tournament. And who knows? Porter with some more time with his teammates, they may be dangerous NCAA tournament time. But this is a devastating loss.
You probably don't have the official numbers yet, but approximately how much of the game did Michael Porter Jr. play in?
Yeah, he played 23 minutes. Yeah, I was keeping track, 23 minutes, which is quite a bit. But as Konzo kind of said yesterday, hey, when he says he's ready to go, we're not going to hold back, no restrictions. And they played him a lot.
How did he look?
Well, he had some special moments where he hit some beautiful threes, had a couple of alley-oops, but he just wasn't sharp. Mm-hmm. He didn't get his shoulder squared. That's why he missed so many shots.
Mm-hmm.
And he also... he got hit around a little bit, too. That's the good news is he got knocked to the ground a couple of times, and his back held up well. So there won't be any more injury discussion for Michael Porter Jr. anymore this season.
All right, brother. Okay, well, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
All right, guys. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, it will be the Think Tank with Tony Colombo, Annie Fry, and Charlie Tuna. Welcome back, guys. DGS. Happy Thursday to you. It's the Think Tank. We have Charlie Tuna, we have Annie Fry, we have Tony Colombo, and we were just talking off the air about this amazing segment that was on Almond in the Morning today. We all caught it. It's so weird that I caught the first half, Tony caught the second half, I think Annie heard all of it. I have always loved debates. Maybe it's the law school in me, but rather than listen to someone talk, especially a paid pundit, I would much rather hear two people who disagree, which is kind of what the Think Tank's all about, and argue passionately but respectfully, and I kind of go back and forth. You know, it's like I remember watching trials as an attorney, watching other people do them, and they would do their opening statements, and the plaintiff would go, and I'm like, well, this is a slam dunk. Everything they said, he's going to win. And then the defense would go, I'm like, I don't know. He made some pretty good points. So today, Jamie and Steyerwald, I don't think it was intended to be a debate, but it turned into one, about tariffs and trade imbalances. And I learned a lot because, Annie, as we talked during the Annie Fry segment, neither of us are economists.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know the basic, real ham fist kind of stuff. But as I understand it, you guys disagree because you heard it too. Steyerwald's main point was, hey, trade imbalance, there's always going to be a trade imbalance. You know, everyone has a trade imbalance with Walmart and Schnucks, and we have such big trade imbalances because we're so great and we're a consumer nation and we drink everyone else's milkshake, and that's why there are trade imbalances. And it's just part of the cost of doing business of being a great booming economy. And postscript, just because Trump does something doesn't make it right, and everyone has to cozy up to that. Was that kind of his point?
Yeah, I think that was his point. And if you missed it, it's must listen to radio. So go check
it out. It was awesome.
Check out the podcast for the morning show. But, it was definitely two different approaches to a specific topic that I was fully engaged in, because tariffs is like,
to me a bold-faced word in a social studies book somewhere. Yes. And I know that it's really important, and I'm really relying on smart people to understand exactly what it is. And you can get caught up, especially if you're like me, where it's like you really want to know, but as much as you try to know, it never really, you're almost memorizing more than you're understanding. And you want to know the difference between the truth and the talking points. So that debate back and forth, it was volatile, and it was really interesting to hear these two different opposing points, especially because, as Jamie pointed out, Granite City, which is on the Illinois side, real close to where I live, there are a lot of people getting their jobs back because of this. So at least from that perspective, it does look like a good thing. So the bigger picture question of, is a tariff going to benefit the overall economy when you're bringing back jobs? It seems like, yeah, it is benefiting the economy, but you have to decide if it's, are you seeing the smaller picture or the big picture? And you just need more conversations like that to find out.
This is one of those things that the Dave Glover rule is, unless you can speak intelligently about a topic for 60 seconds, you should shut up. Hmm. So I'm going to shut up.
And scene.
Because I can't. I'm like you. Yeah. It's a great analogy. It's something in a social studies book. It's 10 at night. You have a test tomorrow, and you're like, tariff. What the hell's a tariff? You know,
the two of them
went way more than 60 seconds. So you should, if you want to hear a good debate, you should go back and listen to that.
Wild.
And yeah. Basically, it was Jamie saying that he supports the president for all the reasons that the president has put out there, and it was Chris Steigerwalt repeating tariffs don't work. And then presenting his evidence why. And then they would go again. And it was great.
Charlie, I wish you could hear it because it was two conservatives having a pissy fight.
Well, that's got to be fun.
It's your dream.
Just slap one another.
It was fun.
So how's this thing hit you? You like us?
I'm like Ann and you guys. I've been reading about tariffs. Got to go back to the books to read about it. So I don't know enough about it to even engage in it.
Yeah.
I've done some research about what Trump. Let's go back to Trump. Some announcers and whatever, no matter what Trump says, they're going to go along with it. And if you challenge them, no matter who you are, you're going to have a confrontation. And you can't go with a guy, if he jumps off the bridge, you're going to jump too. So you got to, you know, you got to research.
Yeah. And from the time, I don't know how long it took, and maybe it really was in the campaign, but I didn't see this coming. I've never seen anything like the always Trumpers. I've seen never Trumpers with never Obamas, and I hate George Bush, and he's a communist, but I've never seen anything like it on the air and off with people who just turn themselves inside out to not only agree with every policy of the president, but every dumb thing that comes out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that everything that comes out of his mouth is dumb, but there's a percentage of it that just is. And I bet you he would admit it. If you could get him real honest, I bet he'd go like, oh, yeah.
You shouldn't be an always anybody.
Anything
or anybody.
Ever.
Or and vice versa. You also shouldn't be a never.
Totally agree.
Anybody or anything.
Totally agree.
Because there's almost nothing on the planet that you could find a person that you literally 100% disagree with every single thing they say.
Well, it means something to me.
Just like you can't agree with 100% of everything.
But Gary Cohen, clearly a very smart man who Donald Trump trusts, and he's his chief economic advisor, and he quits because he disagrees so much, or at least in part that's why he quits. That, you know, it doesn't mean Gary Cohen's right and the president's wrong, but when I keep hearing voices over and over and over again say, well, I don't know about this, it matters to me. I feel no compulsion to twist myself around so that I agree with the president.
I think President Obama definitely had that much of a following. I think we write it off because, at least politically, maybe more so on this station, we just kind of look at the whole Democratic platform and think, eh, not so much. But when you look at how perfect Obama supporters feel that the president was, like, I would ask Charlie, name some things that the president didn't do well.
I can't.
You can't think of any.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I could think of something that everybody could do better. You know, it doesn't have to.
But you can't do it always in 8 years either.
Well, sure. But I mean, the Obama apologists, the always Obama supporters, cannot come up with anything that he didn't just absolutely nail.
And isn't it funny?
It's the same with some of the super Make America Great Again people. But I think that the Obama support was the first time that I ever witnessed.
But isn't it
like,
funny
wow.
that you wouldn't find anyone who'd say that about Bush?
No.
I doubt you could find anyone, even his own family, who would yeah. who would go like, yeah, everything that guy did. Because he Brilliant. Was a moderate.
Yeah.
You know, he would go this way, then that way. So people equally hated and loved
him.
And
he actively humanized himself.
Yes.
Getting back to Gary Cohen, I realize in Trump's cabinet, he may have been the only one that had some legitimate sense and had a feeling when what happens with Charlottesville. Remember, he had a written resignation, and according to what we hear, Trump talked him out of leaving. So today at the press conference, I don't know if you guys saw the press conference with the cabinet, Cohen was sitting in the back, so he said, I want to make sure, Gary, that you know you can come back whenever you get ready. And he caught a shot, kind of looked and shook his head. But for Cohen to leave over the tariffs, that tells you a lot about this, because I know it's new now. We're getting 900 jobs back at Granite City Steel. Friends of mine are going back to work. But it's too soon to say if this thing's going to work, because we got to worry about global now, what's going to happen with that and the effect of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, not only do I don't think there are going to be long-term tariffs, I don't think the president thinks there's going to be long-term tariffs. Yeah. I think the president is the he's the quintessential deal maker. I think he's like a 1930s deal maker where it's like, ah, oh, kiss my ass, 40 cents for wheat, you know, like, I just think that's how he is. He's just he's a hard ass. He says crazy things knowing that he's never going to stay with that position. But what matters to me, because it's more uncomfortable. Let's all admit it. It's more uncomfortable having him as the president than it was Clinton or Bush or Obama, mm-hmm. because he is loud and brash and he says things. But all I care about is, where does it settle? Mm-hmm. You know, does he get the deal? Does North Korea denuclearize? Do we get a better NAFTA deal? Like, I can put up with some crazy if it ends up in a good
place.
It's
uncomfortable because with every politician in the past, especially presidents, when they would say, hey, you better do this or I'm going to do that, whatever that extreme position was, they were never going to do that. Trump will do it. If Trump doesn't get if he doesn't get something that he can say, hey, when I threatened the tariffs, I got this and that's what I wanted, whether it was really what he wanted or not, as long as he gets something and he can say he got something, then he'll do what everybody thinks he's going to do. Because I agree with you. I don't think tariffs are part of it.
I think it's also uncomfortable because.
But he will go yeah, to that level.
He will.
He feels like he's.
Because he's not worried about a political career.
Right.
But I think the reason why it's most uncomfortable to be in the Trump era as a Republican, a Democrat, or anything in between or on the outside of that is because we're used to the people leading our political parties to be a representation of us. And we are now in an era where we need to get to a place where we separate who is leading us and who we are. We need to think as individuals. And it is okay, in my opinion, because I did it, to support Donald Trump for president, to vote for him for president, and still think some of the things that he said in the past are detestable. Because I think for myself, he doesn't have to be a representation of exactly who I am.
It's a great point.
And I'm glad you said that. That's the point I want to hit on later.
Yeah, it's a great point. That it used to be, man, this person lines up with me. And now it really is, representative means something different.
Yeah.
It no longer means, or can't mean, represents me and my values as much as it just is, you're my proxy. I'm going to send you to do my speaking, and even though you're very different from me, you get done what I want you to get done.
It's unrealistic to think that someone is going to be exactly like you, because if they're exactly like me, they're not exactly like Tony.
You know what it is? It's more like a lawyer. Mm-hmm. That if I hire Charlie to be my attorney, I don't really care what he's like at home or in his personal life. I just want him to go win. And that's what I think people who voted for Trump, for the most part, voted for. Someone to go represent them like a lawyer and bring back a victory as opposed to, oh my gosh, he's just the salt of the earth. Quick break, right back. More of the Think Tank after this. Welcome back, guys. DG Ask the Think Tank. We have Charlie Tuna. We have Annie Fry. We have Tony Colombo. It's sort of a cop-out that I say this so much. It's part laziness, and it's part just being honest. But once again, I don't understand a whole lot about what's going on with California versus the United States and Jeff Sessions and Sanctuary City, and Jerry Brown says it's war, and the U.S. is trying to take over, and Kamala Jones said not only is California going to win this war against the U.S., but California is our future. You want to see what the United States is going to look like over the the next 10 or 20 years. Look at California now. So, Charlie, how's that hit you?
I can't digest what they're talking about out there. All I can listen to what Jerry Brown said yesterday. And everything that he says is anti-Trump in the first place. And then the mayor comes in with this racial signature. One thing I found kind of weird is that the illegal immigrants, if they have any type of crime that goes on, whether it's wife beating, shootings, or whatever, they don't call the police because they don't want the police to come. So that could turn out to be a real problem to me. That really could be a problem.
There's a lot of problems mm-hmm. out there. I mean, I'm no fan of Jeff Sessions being the one leading that fight.
But I agree.
They've got to figure something out because you can't have these big cities in California passing laws that are in direct conflict with federal laws, because that is only going to create more court cases, more lawsuits, more arguments. You can't go forward that way. Nobody's talking to anybody. Everybody's just throwing insults from the side that they're on, and you're getting nowhere. And it's going to get way bad there. Like on the streets, yeah. It's going to get way bad there if they keep going this way. And they are going to keep going this way.
I feel like California is where I should go to grow hair because it's like, hey, just come on in. You're legal. It's fine. Everyone's going to have universal income. Everyone's going to be covered with single-payer insurance. Like, it's where magic happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of liberalism happen. Is where Jeff magic
Sessions
happens.
Jeff going to catch it from both ends, though. He's going to catch it from Californians, and he's getting ready to catch it again from the president. So he's caught in the middle of this warfare.
Two things. Jeff Sessions is the most disappointing move President Trump
Thank
has
you
made.
Very much.
Yeah, amen.
But not for the reason you think, Charlie.
Thank you very much.
Because, I bet for the reason I think, though.
But yeah. He has balked on the big cases, and his Senate seat in Alabama now belongs to a Democrat. That is mind-blowing. That being said, California being the future of this country is not something that I think is a positive thing. And I say this as somebody who lives in Illinois. Every time I see Illinois is the second worst and blah, blah, blah. You know who's first worst? California. It's always California and Illinois neck and neck because crazy places like San Francisco and Chicago try to overregulate and overlegislate the snot out of their taxpayers and their citizens, and it doesn't make anything actually better. But for some reason, these legislators get to put their head on their pillow at night and sleep better because they feel like they did something. That's really lazy. It doesn't work.
First of all, I think it's just a matter of time until Jeff Sessions reveals himself to truly be the ambassador of a gargoyle nation that lives in Middle Earth. Secondly, Annie, flesh out for me when I said, I'm going to go to California and regrow my hair because that's where the magic happens. And you said liberalism is where magic happens.
Because, I mean, I like to talk to liberals. I like to talk to Charlie. I like to hear what progressive minds think, because most of the time, and I'm taking all the pundits that we hear on TV, those we're putting them all aside, but the people sitting around your Thanksgiving table or watching a Little League baseball game with you that are Democrats or progressives, usually their intentions are really good. They're really heartfelt. They want to help people. And unfortunately, they've been led to believe that the way to provide help or assistance to other people is through governmental means. As if your tax rate goes from 15% to 20%, that extra 5% is immediately going to go do the good that you hope that it does. It's lazy man's charity. As if that 5% didn't stay in your pocket, you couldn't put it where you know that money is going to cause real effective change to help somebody who really needs it. So this idea of progressive policy is a lot of what comes out of places like San Francisco or Chicago or D.C. These ideas, they sound good, but they just don't work, which is why conservatism generally sounds mean. But it's rooted in reality. And so if you want to win elections and say things that are going to make people feel good, that's great. But then we don't hear anything about that until the next election when you need to make people feel good again.
Charlie, look like you're chomping on the bit.
Oh, no, I was just thinking about this past week. That's all. I'm just thinking about it.
So how about that? If Annie says liberalism is just magic, then what would you say conservatism is? Is it just meanness to you?
I think it is. I really do. It's mean-spirited. Just the way it is. And I feel...
Charlie, do you really think I'm a mean-spirited person?
No, and it's something... Because, see, once we get into Donald Trump again... I want to say something to you, and I want to say something about women, but it's not directed to you at all, because you said something earlier that you're your own individual person, no matter if you support it for Tom, Dick, or Harry, okay, is what I'm saying. But I want to get into that. But I think I think they're very mean-spirited, and now some have gotten even worse with this president.
But Charlie, I'm one of those people, and I'm not mean-spirited, which means if you don't believe I'm mean-spirited,
there is
a chance that there is another conservative out there who is like me, who is also not mean-spirited.
Like Ann Coulter.
Oh, that's what I just said.
Exactly.
Oh, Ann Coulter, yeah. She's a really, that's a great, great one right there.
Thank you for putting the pin in that.
Ann Coulter.
That's a bad example.
Okay.
You wrecked that one. You can
try it.
Ann Coulter. Oh, my goodness. I need some bourbon now.
Okay, then, if Ann Coulter is the ridiculously overblown, mean side of conservatism, and whatever, you know, Rachel Maddow would be the overblown, magical, let's all just be happy side of liberalism, who do you, Annie or Tony, find to be the more reasonable side of liberalism? Like, okay, I don't agree with their policies, but I don't think they're nuts.
You know what? We don't know any of their names. Literally. Probably
they don't get attention.
Because probably on the conservative, definitely on the conservative and Democratic side. I know people who are in office right now because maybe they're my representative or whatever, but you never hear their names on the news. But that's because they're people like us.
You know who's really pushing how they're the leader of the middle centrist moderates?
Who's that?
Is, oh God, I have a cold. our senator, Claire.
Oh, yeah.
She is all over the media lately.
Conveniently.
And she keeps talking about, well, we in the middle, we in the center. Hmm. Like, she is really pushing that.
But check the voting record.
I look at Kamala Harris, and I look at Cory Booker.
And what about them?
I just love their leadership.
But not moderate.
Not especially Kamala. I would just love to see her in a debate with President Trump.
Ooh.
I think
she would take
President
off his orange hair.
Supporters would appreciate that too.
They would love that because he couldn't handle it.
It'd be great television. That's
it'd
for
be
sure.
Great television.
You might
there.
Get your wish.
I hope so. I would love that. I would take off work. I'd miss this show. I would do whatever to see that.
Boy, you know, that's true. I know that there's a whole process and there's the primaries and such. I'm familiar with that. But I've not even heard rumor about who the true front runners are to go against Trump in 2020.
Here, I'll give you three names. Kamala Harris, Oprah Winfrey, Michelle Obama.
Wow.
Well, Michelle Obama's not going to be there.
No, but we're entertaining the idea for this time because a black woman going up against President Trump has its own context before any words are even spoken.
Can America take another black president, though?
I'm sure that they can, especially.
Especially
someone like Tim Scott. He's great.
Absolutely, yeah.
Quick break. Right back. Think Tank. Welcome back, guys. The Think Tank with Charlie Tuna, Tony Colombo, Annie Fry. So yet another reason I add to the list of reasons I want to be black is because I could say things like what Tuna just said on the break when someone referenced an African-American. He goes, are you kidding me? That guy's like buckwheat. I wouldn't be able to say things like that.
Be happy you're white, though.
It's not worth the trade.
No,
and
the trade's good, though. I love it.
And you started,
I wouldn't trade it.
And you started talking, giving a speech on the break, and Annie Fry said, shut up, say it on the air. Why were you just
saying? Well, she was talking about Tim Scott as a presidential candidate. He's a Republican. He's one of the few guys that have some kind of backbone, not like Paul Ryan, that has stood up to Trump in the past. He's a Republican. You got to remember, still a lot of blacks in this country, or Afro-Americans, whatever name we're called this week, they still don't have the views. When they hear the word Republicans, they think it's just bad news. Some of the Republican views, I sort of like some of them. I couldn't tell you which ones they are right now off the bat, but I sort of like some of the Republican views. But Tim Scott, ain't no way. No way. Oprah Winfrey, maybe. Michelle Obama's not going to run.
Well, I mean, Oprah Winfrey.
Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Now, you're going to hear Kamala Harris's name more and more as we come up, because she's more than qualified to run.
Charlie, can you imagine, not name one, can you imagine, can you conjure in your mind a human being that is both fully conservative and fully black?
Well, you can be our President Obama. He was conservative and black.
No. Oh, my gosh. No. No. So. What is somebody...
See, I know that was going to wake you up.
Well, yeah, because it's ridiculous. No, we're not.
He was conservative as well.
No, he was absolutely not conservative. See, he was conservative at times. On the premise of fundamentally changing the way the United States operates, and he was really good at it, which is why Trump took an entire year to undo the things that President Obama did, because he was insanely progressive in his ideas.
And conservative at times now.
No, he wasn't. But Charlie, listen.
You got to look at it from a racial standpoint, though.
Looking at it from a racial standpoint because I don't think that needs to matter when it comes to political representation, because I don't see the color in it. That's my question to you. What does a black person who is a strong conservative, just like Dave was saying, what does a black person who is a strong conservative have to do to get to the place where they are respected in the black community?
Like Tim Scott?
But you don't respect Tim Scott. And I mentioned Alan West's name before.
I just wouldn't vote for him as well. He's not a person that I look up to.
But if you're a conservative and you're black and you are in the presence of any type of media, everybody, on the left at least, accuses that person of being a prop. So you can't, you lose for trying. Like, how do you get to be a conservative black person who's respected for being a free thinker?
You've got to be more than a conservative and a free thinker. You've got to have three parts. And I still think part of Obama was conservative. Not a great part of it.
Can you please name which part?
Some of the things that he stood back on trade and some of the things he was very, very, very conservative on. And this is what Trump has been beating him up about now. But Obama was here, there, and there. And you got blacks that were, you have a lot of black people that were upset at President Obama. You realize that, correct?
Sure, I've heard
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they got upset because he wasn't black enough. But he was the president for everybody. And that's the conservatism that people don't understand about Barack Obama. He was conservative in his race sometimes to make sure that they knew he was the president for everybody.
That's okay. I don't
know. I'm just saying.
That's not politically conservative.
Oh, this is exactly why I was happy to be here, because I've never got a front row seat to the Annie and Charlie show before.
Rachel's sitting right in between us.
I haven't got going yet.
Get going.
And I've seen it every time, and I can't believe I didn't see that one coming. Like, Charlie Tuna, name a truly black and truly conservative person.
President Obama.
Yeah. That's right.
How did I not see that?
Because some people feel as though he's also a conservative.
People don't understand that
just because you are a minority that you can't, and that's a good point, that you can be conservative. There are a lot of intelligent minorities from black, white, Asians, or whatever, Hispanics, that would vote for a person that's conservative also, but has other views that you may not agree with that a typical Republican
would
have.
Because they're thinking as individuals, not as what color their skin is.
Right now they're miscued with what we have now in the White House.
How about this? Annie Frye, just before the break, said, I'll give you three people who are possible presidential candidates. Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, no, I'm sorry, Oprah Winfrey, and Michelle Obama. Three black women. In general, 30,000-foot view, is it easier or more difficult for Donald Trump to defeat a black woman, all things being equal, in 2020 than it was Hillary Clinton? More difficult or easier?
It would be more difficult for him to beat a black woman now in 2000. Because women are taking over. I've been saying that. I've been coming down here now almost a year. We see what's happening down in Texas now. We see what's happening on the East Coast. Women are taking over. Now these 18-year-old kids that are involved in the school shootings are now 18. Guess who they're going to be voting for? They're going to be voting Democratic.
I don't think that you can blanket statement that. And the women may be taking over, but they're taking over in the Democratic Party, which doesn't mean that they're taking over.
But, you know, here's another thing. I'm sorry to say this. This has no direction with you. I can't understand any woman that support a Donald Trump right
okay.
now.
With the infidelity, since you're speaking to one, why?
I'm not talking about you, Derek,
no,
because you said individual.
You can't understand a woman who would vote for Donald Trump.
How can a woman be supportive of a man?
Tell me why
with
I shouldn't
infidelity.
Be.
And don't bring up Bill Clinton because he's not the president. How can a woman support a man with infidelity, been married, and you have, say a woman has a little child, a girl. What do you tell your little girl? Look, Mary, you know, when you get married, it's going to be okay if your husband cheats around on you.
What are these kids thinking?
You know who's
representing what a man should be in a relationship and as a father and as a my husband to my daughter. That's who my daughter looks at. My daughter doesn't look at Donald Trump to find out what the model man is supposed to do.
But she sees, what if she's old enough to watch this, what's going on TV. What do you tell her then? I'm not talking about you individually. Please don't get that.
No, but I mean, I'm not taking it personally, but you are talking about me. And
well, you're the only lady in the room I can talk to. I can't talk to baby girl here.
A hundred
he just
other
pointed
women,
at Tony.
A hundred other
nice
women
haircut.
Who I talk to on a regular basis who say they think exactly like me. We all don't like what he said. We all don't like if he is guilty of things that he has been accused for. But we all know that for our daughters and for our sons, Donald Trump provides the best future for them, and Hillary Clinton does not. And in the decision, between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump,
that was the decision. In 2016,
Hillary Clinton beat herself.
The argument you just made, if that's your number one argument. That how do you vote for this person because you have to look at your daughter and you have to say why you voted for them? Everything that you just said about Donald Trump, you could say about Hillary Clinton. So they were the only two choices, and they both have
baggage.
Whether you believe it or not, you can find issues where it is really horrible. Some of the things that Hillary Clinton allegedly did to women, support, you know. Hiding the and discrediting the women that Bill Clinton assaulted. So you can look at the two of them. You didn't have a choice.
She
didn't do anything wrong.
One more segment. All right, so let's pick up where we left off. Charlie Tuna said trailing off into nothingness. Well, Hillary Clinton didn't do anything wrong. So
and then I put my face into my hands.
What did Hillary Clinton do wrong when it came to enabling women? What did she do that was wrong?
She enabled her husband to take advantage of women and then assured that it would be properly covered up so that he could win political campaigns. That's disgusting.
Well, Tony was talking about
her went on television and discredited everything that they said, anybody that ever had... Ever leveled an allegation against Bill Clinton. She did everything she could to call them liars and discredit everything they had to say.
She's the anti-Me Too. That's what she is, and that's what she was. And then she ran for office against somebody. That's why she didn't get to talk about it. That's why she didn't get to take that issue head on. She was a woman. I hope I am never in a position where I have to submit a resume where my gender is the best thing about me, ever. And that's what she was in 2016.
Well, we had two of the worst candidates probably in the history of this country.
Well, the best one won.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I call him Dr. Donut. He doesn't have a hole in his soul whatsoever, man. This guy, every week is something. It's an embarrassment to society that he's perched up in the White House. Perched like a falcon.
I'm still proud of my vote as a woman and a mother.
Now all I can think about is donuts.
And I'm not trying to be discredited, have the wrong tone. Oh, my goodness.
You know what? Charlie and Crane Durham have a lot in common.
He's being very polite about his
discretion. Well, it's always like, listen, I'm going to describe someone exactly like you, Annie, but I don't mean you.
But not you.
It's exactly like you.
If there were a hypothetical person that was exactly like you.
She's about 5'7".
I'm not offended.
So tonight you are interviewing...
I'm going, down at the Drury Plaza Hotel downtown St. Louis at 7 o'clock. You can still come. I believe tickets are still free, so at... 7 o'clock.
I should be
Juanita
in the front
Broderick.
Row.
Juanita
I should be
Broderick.
In the front
you,
row.
She has a book out. It's a great book. I read it in one night, and she tells a story about how she was actually raped by Bill Clinton and what happened afterwards, which includes Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I was going to say she could probably tell you some things about Hillary Clinton and how she was horrible to women.
I know her name. I know the basic allegation, but
she claims she was raped.
Yes, she certainly
she claims.
Well, which women do you believe and which ones don't you believe?
I don't know. Well, I don't know. I don't believe all of them.
I'm just saying. Well, Hillary Clinton says all women should be believed, right? That's what Hillary Clinton tweeted.
That's what Hillary said.
That's what Hillary Clinton tweeted, and that's what pushed Juanita to write.
Unless you were there, we don't know, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was not there or wasn't born. But her story is like you hear Juanita Broderick. You know that name. And in some cases, people are like, well, I know that name is attached to something, but you don't know exactly what. But Juanita Broderick was working in Little Rock, Arkansas. She was running nursing homes, and she was going to campaign for Bill Clinton in his governor race in Little Rock. And she met him in a campaign party. He was charming. They met again, and an hour of her life that she could not get back. In her book, she details how Bill Clinton raped her, forced himself upon her in a hotel room, and... Why is that funny? Like, how can you
funny,
laugh?
It just says asinine. But go ahead.
Oh, my gosh. So
why is that asinine?
Did he drug her?
The women who accused Donald Trump of stuff all the time. What's the difference?
None of them accused him of rape, though.
Well, so is that okay, or is that worse?
I don't. How do you rape a grown woman? Do you drug her? How do you do?
Dave? This is your show.
How do you rape a grown woman?
I'm going to go back and be a lawyer.
Charlie.
Come on.
You don't think it... Charlie.
How do you rape a grown...
You don't think a man could... It,
man, it, I wish somebody would try one of that on or something like that on my daughter. They was... go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I have two daughters.
My daughter's a well schooled.
I have two daughters.
Women get raped every day.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I have two daughters.
Absolutely.
And... I know that they are not stronger than some or bigger than
I was raised differently.
And here's the thing. Going to what Charlie's saying right now is exactly why Juanita's story is important to tell right now. Because it is her version of a story. And in this day and age, in the last probably 6 months or so, however long we've been hashtagging Me Too, people's stories are starting to be heard and starting to be paid attention to in a way that they weren't before. And there are also a lot of women who... haven't spoken out because they're ashamed of it, because there is something that goes along with an experience like that that makes you feel like you should be ashamed of that.
I mean, sort of like when people say, how do you rape a grown woman?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, absolutely. It's almost the same thing. But Juanita's story, she details it. She's got it in a book. I don't see the Clintons suing her for, you know...
What did Hillary do, basically?
So this is where things get interesting. After the rape took place... According to Juanita, there was another event a few weeks later, some type of campaign event, probably a fundraising party or whatever. She shows up to this party to deliver something, and she's going to leave real quick. Bill and Hillary show up at this party, and Hillary walks straight up to Juanita at the party, grabs her hand, shakes her hand really hard, and says, "Thank you for everything you're doing for Bill Clinton," and looks her dead in the eye. No smile, no compassion, no friendliness in it, and then repeats herself in a very stern way. And according to Juanita, she feels like Hillary knows what's going on here. She's aware of the circumstances, and Hillary is making Juanita understand where her place in this whole scenario is. And then that segues into the 2016 election, where all of a sudden the Trump tapes come out, and Hillary Clinton... tweets out that every woman should be heard. Now, because it is politically advantageous for Hillary Clinton to say this, she puts this out and Juanita saw it and Juanita tweeted back, "Even me," or something like that. And then the whole thing came back up. She showed up at the St. Louis debates. We're going to talk to her about that tonight as well, too, where she was sitting at the debate with Hillary Clinton along with Paula Jones and some of the other women involved. I mean, it's a really compelling story, and it is a story that I think needs to be heard, even by Charlie. So maybe he could understand some things a little bit more.
So
again, when a woman says no, she's got to stop. I understand that part.
Or if she doesn't ask for it.
How old was this woman when this happened, by the way?
She's a grown woman. I don't think it even matters how old she was.
I'm just saying, how old was she? I just asked
the question.
I didn't know. It does matter.
You give me a good reason why it matters. And I'll answer your question.
It matters how old was she. I didn't know.
Well, she's like 25, 30 years old.
Okay.
Grown person.
It can happen.
I mean, you get, though, Charlie, that... rapists don't take no for an answer.
Now, rapists is probably one of the lowest form of any individual in the world, too. Okay? Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
So, speaking of sex stuff, I was listening to listening to the latest reports on the president and Stormy Daniels, and his president his attorney recently got a secret restraining order against her, and that's why she has filed suit, not for money, but saying, "I want to tell my story. You never signed this document. I get to tell my story." And it's Sarah Sanders, who the hell would want this job, is saying, "Well, I've talked to the president, and he wasn't aware of this." Okay. Bull crap. Come on. Is there anyone out there?
Yeah.
The most ardent Trump supporter. You can convince me they didn't have an affair faster than you can convince me that he didn't know that his personal attorney paid someone $130,000. That's crazy.
First of all, his base, if he just admits it, yeah, it did happen, his base is still going to support him. You may not support him the way you want to. But
what about that? And you think so?
Would you support him still?
Two things.
If he all fessed up, would you support him still?
He's already on tape for saying things that I've already said in this show I think are heinous, and I still said that I voted for him. The first thing is, she's a porn star, and she is alleging an affair with the president. None of that has any relevance on me, on how I view this president, because I am not, as Charlie alleged before, looking at him as a moral standard for my children or for myself. I go to church on Sundays for that. My husband and I try to set fine examples at home. We don't always do a great job, but we do the best we can. That's where our children are learning, in the home and on Sundays in church. That's where my kids learn from it. I'm here to surprise everybody. Infidelity is kind of a thing. It happens. We're experiencing that on a state level here in Missouri. It is everywhere. It's their business. I don't like it, but I don't feel like it's going to change his ability to do his job.
Cheating on your spouse, especially if there was no laws broken or assault, is never going to turn a person's base against them.
No.
Charlie, you wouldn't if there would have been an accusation against Barack Obama, you wouldn't have turned your back. You wouldn't have said, "Well, I can't support this guy anymore because he cheated on his wife 15 years ago."
No, I wouldn't have, but it didn't happen though.
But it wouldn't change. It wouldn't change your mind.
No.
So I don't know why you would be surprised if it didn't change anybody else's mind. What if?
That's what I just said.
If it was accused.
That's what I just said. Yeah,
Donald Trump was not elected.
These stories mean
to be something that he is now not. In the event that Stormy Daniels,
the only one that has to suffer through this is his wife. And she hasn't said it. We haven't heard a word from her. And every time you see her with him, she acts like she doesn't want to be with him.
What did she say?
She was just like, "These are false allegations."
I know. What about the daughter?
She just released a statement when it first came out. I don't think it's really Ivanka's problem. I mean, I think it's gross, but it doesn't surprise me coming from Trump. And I just don't like... I mean, if we can't shift the blame onto Hillary that Bill cheated on her, we can't really do it with Melania, and definitely not his daughter. That's not her problem.
What about, we only have a couple minutes left, this is a big topic, but Nicholas Cruz, the school shooter, has said, "Hey, I'll plead guilty to all of this if you just don't kill me." Annie, do you feel like, or Tony, do you feel like, no, a trial's going to suck and put everyone through this trial, but we're going to kill you?
I don't think that he deserves to live. I certainly think that he's done enough, especially if, you know, I know it's not how the judicial system works, but if you're like throwing it out there that, yeah, I'll plead guilty because he's guilty.
Yeah.
There's no question about it.
He doesn't need to plead guilty for us to like, okay, well, good. Now we won't have to worry about if he's going to get convicted or not.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not a fan of supporting somebody for 70 more years that did something like this. He doesn't deserve mercy, not our mercy.
Charlie, you agree?
I agree, 100%.
Yeah. I know sometimes there are people who kill people and they say, "Look, I'll tell you where your daughters are buried if you just will get me this deal." And they'll say, "Oh, this sucks, but okay."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or, "I don't want to put this person through testifying about rape or a murder." But in this case, like Tony said,
there's
nothing to worry about.
No, he's got no leverage.
Yeah.
Do you think OJ didn't do it?
Absolutely not. He didn't do it. Absolutely not.
Why would you even ask that question?
I know OJ personally. No, he didn't do it.
It's Sunday, right?
I'm gonna go to my grave saying,
"Oh yeah, it's Sunday."
Sunday is the O.J. Simpson interview.
They're releasing the interview that he did 10 years ago, 15 years ago, something like that, where he basically it's an interview that is his book. Like, yeah. If I did kill her, here's how I would have done
exactly
it.
Exactly.
Hypothetically speaking.
Yeah, this is exactly how I would have done it, and this is how I would have gotten away with it if I did it.
And they fired this lady that did the interview. She was fired right after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.